Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help you on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about strong homes and really just some of the principles that are helpful in making that happen.
Well, we've had a great run when it comes to parenting and learned a lot of things. Like we had an older friend once tell us, well, I can tell you what not to do.
That's true. And we have so many things that, you know, we've learned with our own kids, but we're discovering there are grandparents who are teaching their kids still how to parent. You know, it's just it's an intergenerational thing. It just goes on. And you have grandkids that you're working with.
I just had a young man come up to me this weekend and say, hey, can I get together and talk to you about discipline and instruction because we're facing new challenges. And it's a living, breathing thing. And you've got to really give attention to it. In fact, the whole idea of discipline and instruction related to children is to produce deep affection and connectedness. And the picture that the Bible gives is like watching our family and our family members like a hawk to make sure that they're getting everything they need that's good for their heart and good for their spirit.
And that means that we have to really know each of our kids and each of our grandkids so that we're able to give them what they need, whether it's a little bit of instruction or whether it's affection or whether you realize, I just feel like they're out there. We need to kind of draw them back in and I need to reconnect with that kid or grandkid.
There aren't tons of passages in the scriptures about parenting. There are some that guide us and give us the basic picture of what we're supposed to be doing. But, I was thinking about that yesterday. And I was thinking how, you know, really all the ones that apply to how we're supposed to treat one another as brothers and sisters and as fellow human beings, that's our job as a parent to bring that into our home. So there really is a lot of material on parenting.
Well, I think there's a lot. And then when I find that sometimes I have someone I'm praying for and I'm just not sure how to pray for them, I have found myself sometimes asking God to reveal to them how he has parented them so that they can parent their own kids. And I think that's a part of it is seeing how God treats us, because he treats us very kindly, but he's very sacrificial. He doesn't, obviously he's sacrificial, but he doesn't let his own life come before ours, so to speak, in terms of sacrificing his son for us. And that's what I realized in my parenting. Sometimes I just wanted time for myself. And I had to realize, no, I'm raising kids. I don't get a lot of time for myself right now.
Well, when you talk about deep connectedness in a family, I love this verse. And I want it to kind of, for the next couple of days, I want this to be the bellwether verse that we go back to and the passage that surrounds it. Be kind to one another. Now, think about this in a home. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted. You know, imagine that, applying that if you got like three or four teenagers or a couple
or junior high
or any boys at all. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And that's just a reminder to me, you know, how spiritual parenting is, because if you really want your children to know how to get along in life, they have to see that connection and how it relates back to how God feels about them.
I go back to the deep connection and being connected. They're a picture of God's relationship with us, but really it's prepping them to do the same in their own lives and with their own kids. It just moves from one generation to another. He's training us because he wants to train the next generation, and then the next generation just doesn't end.
I remember a conversation once about, I remember a guy saying that, well, I don't spend quantity time. I spend quality time. and I thought, you know, quantity time really is quality time. You really have to make room. And there are different times in a family that you have to make different kinds of room, but it's important to give the attention. How much time you give is, it's relative, but it's the attention and it's the connectedness that help develop that deep affection.
And in that, I think it is important. You do have times when you don't have quite as much time as you want to have, and you feel like you don't have any, but it really is necessary to squeeze out something. It's necessary to connect with your kids each day. That's what's important, not just only being together, but that eye-to-eye connecting time.
Which I think is difficult, because there are a lot of ways for people to not be eye-to-eye connected. I mean, you read articles about families coming home and they go to five different rooms with five different devices, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think related to that quality time is the whole idea of shared family experiences. You know, we just had a couple of our grandkids over the other day, and we were playing a memory game.
They beat you.
And they, which they do in almost every game we play. But that it's so interactive, and we had fun together. And we had to make time for that. It's easy to let that stuff get squeezed out and not plan in shared family experiences. And, you know, they don't have to cost money in order to be a significant family experience.
Well, one of the things that we did in our family that I don't expect everyone else to do, but we ate dinner together every night. And I understand that that just doesn't work for every family. I get that. But what I'm encouraging, I guess, is that if it can't be that, it needs to be something. It needs to be something where, and you know, we have FaceTime now, which I laugh. I think I coined that term.
We need some FaceTime tonight. That's going to happen.
Because that's what I felt like our dinner time was. Looking at my kids and their faces as they told their stories and reading what was behind the story and looking at Dave, looking at you and saying, what's really behind that? Is there stress? Is he tired? Is he just happy tonight? What's going on in all these mixtures between my two sons? You know, how do all these relationships work? And, you know, without being together and observing it, you can't really be on it. Like I couldn't, anyway, I couldn't be on it like I felt like I needed to be.
So my understanding is that a lot of families don't even sit around and have a meal together anymore. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. They're talking about, I've been with realtors lately because of my daughter, and just how homes are looking different. There are not only dining rooms, there is not a dining area. There's just a bar area where a couple of kids sit because they don't eat meals together anymore in the home. They eat more at restaurants or just on the go. And that's what I'm saying. If that's how your family has to be, I'm not condemning that. What I'm saying is, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
What is our choice of
doing
that?
How are we
going
to have that kind of connectedness together as a group? You know, another thing that we learned as our family members grew, or as they grew up and the stages changed, it was really important to connect individually with each family member. So I think the challenge of a parent that's trying to, or parents that are trying to build a strong home, is that you have that connectedness and figure out how to make that work in your family, but then you also figure out how to have that individually with each one of your kids.
Well, and then they all go through different phases. I can remember I had a son who resisted any kind of affection. So we're talking about kind of two things here, that connectedness, but also the affection that's necessary. And he kind of hit junior high and he was having none of it. And I thought, you know, this just doesn't feel good. He kind of slinks in and he kind of just is trying too hard to stay under the radar. And so I told him, I understand that this is really uncomfortable for you. You don't want it, but I need it. So I need you to come in and find me when you get home from school, because I need that. I know you don't need it. And I tell you what, the first day he walked in and found me and gave me a hug on his own, you know, unsolicited, he headed up the stairs and I burst into tears. It was like, it actually worked.
it was a great reward.
It was.
Deep connection and deep affection is what we're talking about. And I was thinking about that whole idea about physical demonstrations, physical touch and affection. My sons are in their 30s now, and still, when we see each other, which, you know, might be once a week, or might be after a couple of weeks, we'll see each other. And it's just really natural for us to be affectionate with each other, not in a weird way, but just in a, hey, I'm happy to see you. We give each other a hug, or we bump into each other, whatever. And that kind of affection, that physical touch, is something that, well, we worked a lot on when we were raising our children.
We did work on it. And I think one of the things that I had to learn was how to do that and not show favoritism, because some kids are more willing to do that than others. Some are more willing to share their feelings. They're more gregarious. They're more, I don't know, they're just out there with what they think about things. And then you have one that wants to fly under the radar, as I say, and you kind of go, I'm just not sure where they're coming from all the time. And just being careful not to show favoritism, that doesn't necessarily mean it always looks equal, though, because it means that I had to know each one, and they had to know that they completely owned my heart.
Yes. And that the word that comes to mind as you're talking is recipe. You know, you have a recipe for each one of your kids. The whole idea about treating everybody equally, that's not really what you want to do. You want to love everybody fully. And that means that you have to know your children in order to have that recipe that fits them. Because, you know, everybody has a little bit mm-hmm. different language when it comes to love.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this just in terms of what we see in the Bible. When you look at Joseph and what he was like and what he went through with his brothers obviously didn't feel as cared about as he did from Jacob and Rachel.
Yes.
But then you also have Jacob, who felt like he was loved more than Esau by his mother. Esau was loved more by his father, and his parents were Rebekah and Isaac. You know, just reading that again reminded me of how it's really, really important not to show, you know, I mean, Jacob and Esau were so different. You could see why each parent was more drawn to them, but being careful to love them how they needed to be loved and not actually showing favoritism, but letting them be who they are.
Yeah, and I think it's really tricky to engage as a parent on the level that you're talking about. And it takes a lot of attention and a mm-hmm. lot of intentionality. You have to decide, okay, well, what do you want to provide for your children? You can't do everything. You can't make them believe. You can't make them mm-hmm. live the kind of life that you think that they should live. But you can set the stage for them having all the tools that they need in order to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, and I think at some time I had to face, you know, you just want to be the perfect parent. You just try so hard. You just make these decisions. You want to do everything right. And we wrestled it out between the two of us the best way to do it.
Yeah, and you always won.
But I think just the idea of knowing that we want the best for them. And I'm not going to be a perfect parent. I'm just not. And once I face that and realize that is part of God's design in a lot of ways too, because he disciplines as he knows. I just do it as I know best, but he does it right. And if I was perfect, they wouldn't need God. Well, I'd be able to answer all of their deepest questions.
To that point, as you're talking about it right now, I'm thinking particularly about each one of our children, how at some point I had to look them in the eye and go, you know, I really blew that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't get that right at all. You know, physical touch is a big deal when it comes to deep affection and connectedness. Also, reinforcing words. You know, you can do this. You're strong. You're able. You're kind. Knowing your child's character well enough to be able to speak into that character, that's a big deal. Because, again, back to the recipe thing, there's nobody like your child. I mean, there may be some similarities in human beings and boys and girls and all that kind of stuff, but they have their own recipe. So the words that fit them and that are good for them are going to be unique to them.
And I have an example of that. My mom told me once that people, when I was playing basketball or doing piano or whatever it was that I did, her friends would say, oh, don't you get nervous watching her? And my mom told me that. She said, no, I just tell them. I said, what'd you say? And she said, well, I just tell them I know you can do it. Well, those were just words of affirmation for me. It wasn't like she gave me a pep talk before I did anything. That just came out at some point. Well, I just know you can do it. And that, you know, it just stuck with me like, oh, well, you know, she's just got all the confidence in the world about me.
Oh, Mom, she loves you.
I know.
This back to the passage we started out with, because we're kind of running out of time here, mm-hmm. coming up against it. Ephesians 4, if you're really looking for a neat read to think about,
yes.
you know, the backdrop for your family, verse 32, be kind to one another. This is the last verse in the chapter. Tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And there are things before that, that paragraph before it, that we'll talk about a little bit tomorrow. But it's a great family passage where you're trying to really focus on what it means to have a spiritual home, because that's what you want. You know, you don't want the best possible home and chances for success.
Right.
You want the best place for spiritual success.
Right. And we touched on being kind and tenderhearted, but that whole idea of forgiving, we haven't even touched on that yet.
Forestream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forestream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we are finding hope at forthstream.com.